Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Strong Her Way to Eat, Move, and Live. Here we talk all things food freedom, fitness, and life transformation. It is Alicia Carlson, and it is so good to be back here with you again this week. So today is kind of a special day in our house. My husband and I are celebrating our 14th wedding anniversary. And it has really just kind of given me a lot of pause to kind of reflect and think about our relationship, our journey, love, I guess, in the context of loving other people, but also loving yourself. So while I did have another episode planned, I really just felt inspired to kind of share a little bit of our journey, a little bit about where we're at now. The struggles, honestly, of being married for 14 years, and I've been kind of thinking about it, and I would say, you know, initially I thought, oh yeah, you know, post something super romantic, talking about 14 wedded blissful years or wedded bliss or whatever. And the more that I started to think about it, the more the reality is that not all 14 years have been amazing. In fact, I would say that there was a good 2, possibly 3 years that it was a struggle. It was really hard. We walked through some things. And so we'll kind of dive into that, but really just hoping to kind of share some perspective, some wisdom, hopefully, that I have learned over the last 14 years of choosing, I guess, to love my husband every single day, even when it didn't feel good. But then also, how can we learn to kind of apply that same concept and the same idea of love when it comes to loving ourselves well? So let's go ahead and get into it. So a little bit of the backstory. My husband and I have been married, like I said, for 14 years today. We have been dating this year was 18 years, which is so crazy to think that officially now, after this year, we will have been together. I will have been with him longer than without him, if that's making sense. So we started dating when I was 18. And I'm 36 now, so 18 years together, which is absolutely crazy. And I really even remember kind of thinking that I knew immediately, or I knew pretty close to after we started dating, that I wanted to marry him. And that's so funny because I look at it now and I'm like, oh my word, like 18 years old was so young to make that decision. But I just knew, like, he was the first man that I really fell in love with. And there was just so much about him that I loved. And I knew soon after we started dating that he was the one that I wanted to spend my life with, but he is a little bit older than me. And so I think that maybe he just had some wisdom or some perspective. And while he didn't really do a great job, I don't think, of communicating this to me when we were dating, I think it kind of came out afterwards that he really wanted to wait for us to get married until after I was 21. I think in his mind, he had this thought that I was going to turn 21 and then maybe totally turn into some sort of a party animal. And I think perhaps maybe he was a little bit freaked out of what that would do to our relationship. So we're kind of waiting. You know, we were in dating for, I think, about 4 years, and then we were engaged for a year within that 4 years. So maybe we dated for about three and a half years before we got engaged. And I genuinely remember thinking, I am done waiting around for him to decide whether or not we're going to get married or we're going to do this. And it kind of became this thing, this, you know, place of contention or stress in our relationship. And you know, I almost was to the point where I was like, okay, I'm just done. I'm done waiting for you to decide. I don't want to sit here and, you know, just be kind of strung along if this really isn't going anywhere. And again, at 18 years old, it is so funny that I was putting so much pressure on him, on me, on a relationship, but that is how it worked. And honestly, I would say, you know, I wasn't a Christian at this point in time, but I remember genuinely like praying that, you know, God, that you would just change his heart, or that if we're not meant to be together, that, you know, I would just have a sign and I would just leave. And, you know, however that all worked out, we ended up getting married in 2007, and we got pregnant with my daughter, my oldest, who is now 13, probably on our wedding night. I mean, when you do the little calculator, that's kind of when it all works out. And I remember being brand new married and finding out that I was pregnant and just feeling so devastated. Like, my life was over. I had big plans, which, if you know me or if you've been listening to the podcast And you know me, you know that I am a dreamer, I'm a visionary. I have always kind of had these big dreams and these big ambitions, and getting pregnant right away was not a part of my plan. I mean, of course, now I'm so grateful and so thankful that we did, because I was just thinking about this the other day where it's like, man, had we had gotten pregnant just maybe even an hour later or the next day, our child would be completely different. And so that was just kind of mind-blowing to think that just in that right moment, the egg and the sperm coming together created our daughter. Sorry, that was kind of a tangent, but that really just kind of blew my mind to think, you know, how crazy it is that it really does sometimes that our lives can be changed in the matter of a second. So we got pregnant shortly after. That, of course, created, I think for me, a lot of stress, a lot of emotional stuff kind of coming up, especially because I didn't have a great relationship with my mom. In fact, I really was not close to her, and I definitely see that I sought out other women to kind of fill that gap. And so I think for me, there was just so much fear and anxiety around kind of repeating some of the same things that I saw happening, you know, with my mom, or ways that maybe I felt like she had wronged me. And of course, now I can look back and I can see that she really, I think, did the best that she could with what she knew how. But I also realized that I had a lot of that same kind of fear and anxiety around being married because of the way that I saw my parents interact. And, you know, there was drinking, there was a lot of arguing and fighting, and even some domestic violence. And I just remember thinking, like, I do not want my life to look anything like the way that it looked when I was growing up. Now, whether that's good or bad, right or wrong, I think now, after years of kind of healing and processing through it, I can see, you know, that it was all of those experiences that have made me who I am. You know, whether it was things that I kind of learned to do as ways of coping or protecting myself or just surviving, or, you know, other things that really kind of did, I think, help me develop resilience and grit and, you know, the adaptability to be able to change and to kind of go and make friends wherever I am. So I think sometimes, you know, we can kind of look back at our journey and where we've been and the things that we've been through, and sometimes we can only see the negative. But I think eventually, like as we kind of process through it and as healing begins, we can start to see that, you know, maybe some of those awful things really were, you know, even if we could choose to not have those happen, maybe, you know, in a way, like how can we look at, you know, how did that happen for me? And I don't want to, you know, brush it off or make light of traumatic situations and horrific things that happen in the world and that we experience. And it's definitely not about this idea of toxic positivity and, you know, oh, we just have to like feel so good about every crappy thing that's ever happened. But as I want to kind of dive in today, you know, talking about love, it's like we don't have to like love everything that's happened in our life. And I think when people think of love, they think of kind of this feel good emotion that it feels so high, it feels so bubbly, it feels so good all of the time. And I think what I've really been reflecting on today is that love doesn't always feel good. In fact, probably a lot of times it doesn't feel like that bubbly butterfly feeling in your stomach. And, you know, so it's like even when we're looking at the things that have happened in our lives, we don't have to feel good about the crappy things in the world or the crappy situations or things that we wish weren't happening. Just like we're not going to feel good about our relationships all the time or feel good about maybe the things that your partner or your spouse or your kids or somebody does that you love, but they do it and it drives you nuts. Like we don't have to feel good about those things. And so I think, you know, as I've been kind of reflecting on the idea of love, I think sometimes we can just get it twisted in thinking that if we are learning to love ourselves or love our bodies or love our partners or our children, that we have to always feel good about it or in the relationship or in the moment, or we have to like, you know, be happy all of the time or, you know, just feel positive about everything that happens. And what I want to offer is that love doesn't really feel good. Like, love to me feels like commitment. It feels like courage. It feels like vulnerability. It feels like, you know, maybe standing up and like speaking up for yourself or creating boundaries. And those things, by and large, typically are pretty uncomfortable, right? It can make us feel really exposed. It can make us feel maybe weak, just uncomfortable. There might be kind of this nervousness as well of like, if I, you know, speak up or if I say this or if I set this boundary, like, how is the other person going to take this? Or, you know, are they going to leave? I remember thinking early on in our relationship that, you know, I couldn't speak up or I couldn't say certain things or I had to do things a certain way because I was afraid that if I didn't, he was going to leave me. And really kind of looking at, you know, my life, I think that was a common theme. It was like, I was just used to people leaving, you know, my parents leaving, my mom left when I was in fifth grade, you know, feeling like other people in my life that I had kind of put in that parental role, whether they should or shouldn't have been there, feeling left and abandoned by them. And so I can see that I definitely carried that into my relationship with Rob early on, is that I just was so afraid of messing up, so afraid of not, you know, being the quote unquote perfect wife, that he would leave me. And so I can see that a lot of my behavior early on was really geared towards him not leaving or me not messing up and making him want to abandon me. And so I think, you know, it's just recognizing that, you know, it's good to just kind of see like, where have you come from? What has kind of shaped your perspective of love and what it takes to get love and be loved? And how do you show up and love other people? And also just kind of that awareness of like, do you currently believe or think that love has to always feel good? And I think sometimes it's easier when we kind of look at this in the context of relationships with other people, but then to kind of turn this back in toward ourselves and be like, you know, asking yourself, how is it that you are loving yourself? Are you kind of loving yourself conditionally? Meaning that you can only really love yourself if you look a certain way, or if you don't have stretch marks, or if you, you know, if you don't have cellulite, you know, do you feel like in order to love yourself or to love your body, that you have to always feel good and feel positive about it? Or, you know, is love a little bit more uncomfortable in the sense that, you know, it's courageously deciding that you're going to love your partner or your kids, or you're going to love other people or yourself, no matter if you don't meet your own expectations or if they don't meet the expectations that you've placed? You know, are you committed to kind of loving them through life's ups and downs, the good and the bad? Just the same, are you committed to loving yourself when you're succeeding and you're totally crushing it, as well as when you kind of find yourself in the valleys of life as well? You know, when maybe you feel like everything you're doing, you're failing, you're making mistakes, you're, you know, not getting it quote unquote right. Like, can you still make a commitment and a decision to love yourself fiercely? And, you know, really, what does that mean for you? I think over this last year, kind of working on, you know, my own stuff with my own coach, it really has been kind of seeing that I think for a long time, I've really loved myself from a conditional place. And a lot of that has been, you know, heavily emphasizing my ability to achieve and to be successful. And it was like, as long as I was striving for certain things and reaching those goals, then I could have my own back. Then I could be kind and compassionate and loving toward myself. But then really recognizing that I tended to be pretty hard on myself when I didn't, you know, reach a certain goal, or even the motive of setting specific goals around, you know, my business, or at one point my body and my weight, and then just seeing in other areas that, you know, it was very conditional on, you know, I will love myself when I reach these, or, you know, I will be able to like really appreciate myself and be stoked for myself when I accomplish these things. So I guess I just really want to kind of offer to you this idea that whether you're on your journey of learning to love yourself better and love yourself well, which we kind of talked about that last week in the episode talking about kind of surface self-love versus loving yourself well, or you're kind of looking at the other relationships in your life, I just wanted to kind of share with you, I guess, some of my perspective in the sense that love isn't always going to feel good. It's not always going to feel, you know, maybe positive emotion or excitement or happiness or, you know, bubbly emotion or butterflies in your stomach. Sometimes love is uncomfortable. It feels scary. It feels very vulnerable and raw. It feels like commitment and courage. And as much as I am all for those emotions, they don't maybe necessarily feel the way that we think that they should or the way that we want them to. So when you are kind of exploring, you know, how you're loving yourself and, you know, really working on learning to love your body, love yourself well, I just want you to kind of be aware of, are you expecting for that to feel good all the time? Are you expecting that, you know, every single day that you wake up and you look at yourself in the mirror, or you catch a glimpse of your body or something like that, are you expecting that you're always going to have kind of those bubbly feel-good emotions? Or can you make that commitment to yourself to love yourself well, to treat yourself with kindness and compassion and grace and understanding on the days when you feel like it as much as the days when you don't feel like it, right? And it's just the same, like looking out at those primary relationships in your life where you're in a loving relationship with other people, do you have that expectation that it's always going to feel good? Or, you know, can you settle into being okay with, you know, sometimes it doesn't feel the way that I think it should feel, right? Love doesn't feel the way that I think it should feel, but I'm still going to be committed to showing up in this relationship, loving this person as unconditionally as I can, and loving them, you know, whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley, right? Loving myself, whether I'm in the mountaintop and I'm feeling really good about myself, feeling really good in my body, or even on the days where maybe I'm not feeling so hot, I'm not feeling so good in my body. Like, can I still show up and have my own back? Can I still show up and have their back, right? Can I still show up and be kind and compassionate and treat myself and others the way that I genuinely want to, and not necessarily as just a response of an emotion? So I know this was a little bit kind of off the beaten path, not really planned at all, other than I felt just super inspired to kind of share this with you, is that I think sometimes we can just buy into the fallacy or kind of this facade or this false idea that loving ourselves has to always feel good, right? I was just working with a client on this, and she's pregnant and she's noticing some stretch marks or her body's changing, and she wasn't really feeling all that great about it. And she was feeling super discouraged. She was being really hard on herself. And, you know, we talked about this concept of, you know, what can you love about the process right now? And I think initially, you know, when I said that, she was thinking that in order for her to love her body as it goes through these changes, or to love this process, that it had to feel good, right? She had to always feel good in her body. And I think when we think about that, this kind of alludes to that idea of toxic positivity that I shared earlier, or that I mentioned earlier, but it's not about that, right? And so I had to kind of explain the same thing, right? It's like, no, when I'm talking about loving yourself, loving your body as it changes and through this process, it's how can you still kind of show up for yourself and have your own back and be, you know, nice to yourself, rather than looking at all of these things that are happening to your body that aren't necessarily within your control. And, you know, instead of coming from this place of being super defeated, super discouraged, super hard on yourself, how can we kind of shift into this more just loving relationship, right? And understanding that even if you're choosing to love your body in this process, you may or may not love the stretch marks in that bubbly way, but how can you still kind of show up to take care of yourself? And so it just kind of got me thinking about how all of this ties in, whether we're talking about, you know, being in a loving relationship with somebody else where, let's face it, it is not always easy. It is not always, you know, those butterflies in your tummy and, you know, I just feel so in love with this person. Like, sometimes it is just making the decision to love them and to continue to show up and be committed and be courageous and be vulnerable in that relationship, even when it doesn't, you know, feel the way that we think maybe love should feel. And so really just kind of exploring that for ourselves and the way that we are showing up in our lives and in the other relationships that we're in. So I hope that this was helpful for you. If you ever want to talk more about your relationship that you have with yourself or even other people, then I want you to know that you can always reach out to me. Feel free to shoot me a message either on Instagram at Alicia Carlson _ or over on Facebook. I'll be sure to have all of those links in the show notes below. And if you want to learn more about working with me in a one-to-one capacity where we can take what you're learning here on the show, apply it to your own life, to your own situation, and go even deeper, then I want to invite you to reach out. You can email alicia@aliciacarlson.com, or of course you can message me either on Instagram or Facebook. And if you are curious about just kind of, you know, dipping your toe into this a little bit more, I'll go ahead and link to a special freebie that I have for you as well. You can go through this at your own pace, as quick or as long as you want to, but you can check out the show notes for all the links, all the goodies. I hope that you have a great rest of your day. Get out there, love yourself well, love the people that have been placed in your life well, and just remember, there is no pressure that it has to always feel good. We can do the hard things. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll talk to you again soon.